Well, I was talking to some of you before I came in here, and they said to me, "You're not from around here, are you?" "Where are you from?" Well, I didn't tell them because I said I'm going to say something about that. As you can hear, I am not from around here. I'm from England, many years ago. And you know what we Brits are known for? Our conversation about the weather. Because, like Michigan, it's always changing. And although we may get a little more rain than you do, I'm not sure recently. I think everyone in the world is talking about the weather right now. We have seen more extreme weather events in the last 18, 19 years than throughout the recorded history of weather, of climate. And we've seen the devastation it does. Did you see the pictures of the Bahamas and Florida and the Carolinas? And the floods and the fires. Everywhere we seem to be getting extreme weather events. Those strong winds that Jeremiah talks about that are no good for winnowing or servicing, but destroy. And I have a son who lives in Dubai, and I have been there in a sandstorm. Not a major one, just a mild one. And believe me, in desert countries, when the wind blows even a little bit, you can't see. Everything is covered with sand, and your eyes hurt. No wonder they wear burqas and things, because it keeps the sand out of their nostrils and their eyes. It's not somewhere or an event that we really want to be in. Now, Jeremiah, because of the time he was writing, writes about the extreme desolation, the winds, and the drastic catastrophe that's going to happen to their land as a judgment from God, because they are not following God's will for the world. They've turned against one another and God. They've strayed from the path. Now, we know that the climate change, which very closely resembles Jeremiah's picture of the world, or will do, is not due to God's wrath, rather to human agency, if you like. Because although we don't like to think of ourselves being responsible for what's happening in our world, we are. We don't think of ourselves as sinners, but by our greed, our consumerism, by our devastation of natural resources, we are destroying God's creation, which God pronounced as being good, very good. And we are returning the earth to the chaos and darkness before creation. Mostly by our actions. Not all of it, but mostly. I'll give you a few statistics, and I had to look these up. I have to write them down because I'm getting old and my memory isn't what it used to be. 18 of the 19 hottest years recorded have been since 2001. Humanity is spewing more than 110 million tons of global warming every day into the thin shell of our atmosphere, that which surrounds our Earth. The past 5 years have been the hottest recorded. This past July, globally, was the hottest July on record. We don't like to hear these statistics. We try to disown it. Because we don't feel there's much we can do about it. But we can. One of the things we need to do is acknowledge our complicity. To own up to it. I know I have a daughter who's an environmental scientist. I'm working with a recycling program in New York. By the year 2000, and I think it's 2030, they aim in New York to have zero waste. They've built recycling plants that can recycle and reuse or convert everything we throw away, including meat and food, which is turned into fertilizer. Where there's a will, there is a way. But we need to open ourselves up to that. We need to look at our own lives. I know I like driving my car. Now, admittedly, it now does, I've got one that does 30 to 32 miles to the gallon, but that's still not really good enough. I like my comforts. And I don't always think of the cost to perhaps people in Africa or India or China. I do try to take reusable shopping bags with me, but I often forget, and then I get a plastic one. Food, I try to buy organic. I'm fortunate, as most of us are. We can afford to spend a little extra to prevent the chemicals and pesticides being used on our crops. We can all do something. We can't do everything, but we can all do something. And cumulatively, we can make a difference. You know, our world is beautiful. I looked at a wonderful sunrise this morning. And William Wordsworth, in his poem, I think it's written in early spring, says, "To her fair works does nature link the human soul that through me runs. But much it grieves my heart to think what man has made of man." We're all connected. Biodiversity is what keeps us alive. We're connected to nature in so many ways. And when God created, he said, "This is good." Jeremiah says, "This is not so good." And we might say the same. But what can we, as people who say we follow Jesus, do? Apart from those acts of advocating for, changing systems, doing personal things that will make a little bit of difference, but lots of little things add up. We can take hope into the world. Hope that this isn't the end. This isn't all that is possible. Because if we acknowledge our participation, our complicity in this, and change our ways, we know that God is gracious. God gives us hope. God gives us hope of salvation in this world as well as the next. We're forgiven for the things we do, so long as we acknowledge them, hold ourselves accountable, and everyone accountable, because it's a corporate sin. It's not something each of us has to take sole responsibility for. We're responsible as part of the body of Christ and the body of the world, because all major religions have at their center, whatever they call, one we call God, the desire to build relationships between humans and with nature. We can take that hope that we know that we are forgiven children of God, and that we can make a difference in this world to help God realize God's dream that all creation is good. All people matter. The dignity of every human being and all of God's world. May we have the courage to stand up for what we know is right and perhaps change our lives in a little way so we can make a difference and help others make a difference to create the world that God has called into being. Amen.